Please stand clear of the doors. Por favor, manténganse alejado de las
podcasts.
From the Deep Fauntleroy Recording Studios in Sunnytown, St. Petersburg, Florida, in Westerly, Rhode Island, this is episode 160 of the Por Favor Manténgase Alejandro de las podcast. I'm Mike down in sunny Southwest Florida, joined by Dr. Klinsman up in Rhode Island. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. How are you, Daniel?
I'm doing great, thanks.
We should just introduce a new normal yet funny name every week.
Yeah, Daniel Klinsman. What did I say my name was? Like 30 seconds
Daniel
ago?
Melnick.
Danny Melnick, yeah.
Dan Melnick.
It's like a basketball player who just like has one of those nights where he fires like 39 points.
Yeah, he
7
of
10 threes. Massachusetts,
you know,
basket,
walk-on.
Dan Melnick. There's this guy who's got the perfect name. Me and Red went to the NCAA tournament, the Centrum, years and years ago.
The Worcester Centrum?
The Worcester Centrum. So he was on the he bought the ticket, so he was on the mailing list. So they said, would you like to get tickets to the UMass DePaul game? They were going to play, UMass was going to play that game at the Centrum. And we went to that game, and there's this guy, Tom Kleinschmidt for DePaul. He just lit it up. DePaul basket Tom Kleinschmidt. That's all you heard all night. He just had one of those. And there was
like
a guy
33 and 12 rebounds.
Yeah, and then there was another guy we saw at Keeney Gymnasium. He played for Maine. His name was Tim Dennis.
That's a good name.
Maine basket Tim Dennis.
Timothy Dennis.
Old Keeney Gymnasium, where you could just, you know, it sounded like the PA announcer was announcing from like your junior high school. Yeah. That little briefcase that you pulled out with the microphone.
Yeah.
Main Black Bear basket, Tim Dennis. Timothy Dennis and Thomas Kleinschmidt. Good names.
Those are good names.
Those are great names. I knew you. When you said we got to pull out some nerdy names, those were in the reserves right there, Jurgen.
That is a good one. Yeah. You like ones. Anytime a person has two first names, you enjoy that, don't you?
Oh, I love two first names. Two first names are the best.
And then if the last name is a little funny with the normal first name, it's also good.
Yeah, there's a guy on Fox. He's a real goofy nerd. I forget what his name is. Eric Sean.
Eric Sean.
what's his name now? I gotta look it up. Yeah, it's Eric Sean.
Eric Sean. This is Eric.
E-R-I-C-S-H-A-W-N. Perfect. It's not like different name, like spellings or anything.
The best part about that is he probably picked that. His real name probably isn't Eric Sean. Because all these empty TV suits, they usually pick a fake name.
Oh, do they? Did you have one when you were with the Westerly station?
No, I kept my real name.
Did you really?
Yeah.
Because that even sounds like a bad made-up name, doesn't it?
Yeah, exactly. It's like you. That's like if you check into a hotel and you don't want anyone to know where you are.
I don't know. It says Eric Sean, born March 12, 1957, is American television news reporter for the Fox News Channel. He was born in New York City, but it doesn't say, like, born, you know, Eric, yeah. Steve Anthony or
Steve
Anthony Rizzuto. I think his legitimate name is Eric Sean.
I always thought if I ever needed a fake radio name, I was going to be Gary Waters.
Gary Waters?
Yeah.
That's too much of like a porn name, I think, Gary
Why
Waters.
Why is that a porn name? I was thinking like maybe break in as like a meteorologist or something. Like, we go now to Gary Waters in the News 5 mobile lab.
Gary Waters. Or like a helicopter chopper. Like,
yeah,
you're
that'd
doing,
be a good
you're doing like
the traffic.
Traffic.
The 610 connector is backed up all the way to Johnston.
610 connector.
Yeah. You don't miss that, do you?
I'm spying this guy, Tony DiBiasio.
So what's new? What's new in sunny Southwest Florida?
Oh, what a glorious day today, Bill.
Yeah, glorious. That cold front came and gone.
That thing's
happy,
long gone.
Happiness.
Yeah, 77 today, beautiful. Little chill in the morning, light jacket,
yeah.
You know, 57, 58.
Hmm.
But once the sun comes up, we're good to go.
It's been quite miserable around here.
Oh, let me hear about it. I don't care about your beer of the week. I want to hear about
your
misery.
You're going to care about the beer of the week, but the misery will also help.
Yeah, I've got
your
undivided attention.
So the last couple days, the last couple days were decent, like got into the 50s, so that's not too bad. And then this morning it was like 45 at 5:30 when I left, and then by the time I left work, it was like down to 30.
Wind, oh, you had one of those that comes in, it's the reverse of Florida.
Yeah, exactly. So, and then tonight's going to get down to 14.
Oh, 14 this late in the year?
I know, it's not good, and tomorrow's high is like 30.
Oh.
So we're having extended cold. No snow in the forecast, but then Friday, Saturday, Sunday, rain, rain, rain.
Yep, here we go.
And here we go.
Oh, really?
I figured, you 14. Know, March, maybe we get an early spring. Nope. It's officially spring now, and we're just getting, like, the big middle fingers from Mother Nature. Yeah, so you're having more winter.
Here we go. Thursday, 80. Friday, 82. Saturday, 83. Sunday, 84. Monday, 84. Tuesday, 82. Wednesday, 83. Thursday, 85. Friday, 85. Saturday, 85. Sunday, 85. Monday, 84. Tuesday, 82. Wednesday, 83.
Pretty consistent.
A little consistency there, huh, Bill?
Those are like my golf scores if I play a par 3.
Mm-hmm. 82.
82,
85. Yeah. Oh, it's gorgeous.
Oh, that's not bad. I think it's going to take us 3 days to get up to the 85. Like, if you combine the high.
Yeah, you combine them.
Yeah. Ugh, it's miserable. Anyway, yeah, I don't know. Not much else is going on. Just trying to get this season, spring, started.
Have they talked about when are they going to open the golf courses? Because just Chaska Town Course just did that guess our opening day. And if you guess it right and you're a fan of theirs on Facebook, you get a free round of golf.
Oh, okay.
But I'm guessing they usually open like mid to late April, typically. And I don't think they had a bad 3rd. Winter. But when do they typically open up there?
Most places don't really close unless there's snow on the ground.
So they don't have to have like a hard official close like they do in Minnesota?
Right, not really. But I know a few places are open on Friday.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so they should be starting back. I mean, the snow is gone. It's just miserable out.
Is it gray?
It's been today was pretty gray. It's been sunny, though. The last few days were nice until today. I don't know.
You got white knuckles on when you're driving just because you're so irritated, or you just kind of accept it?
I don't care as long as it doesn't snow. Mm. Honestly, like, I'll take the cold. That doesn't bother me too much. It's the snow that really drives me nuts. I can handle the cold, even though it's not fun, but... Oh, I'm tired, Bill. I'm just really looking forward to being able to wear shorts every day again.
It's a nice thing, Bill, to be
able to... That's one of my favorite things is when it's like 100% shorts weather. Because you get to the point in April where it's like a couple days a week you can wear shorts, then you got to wear pants, and then once you hit June, like middle of May to June, it's like shorts every day. Mm-hmm. You can bank on it. That's what I'm looking for.
Yeah, I like wearing shorts every day. It's a great thing.
Yeah, you get like 2 months... I have like the 2.5 months where I can wear shorts every day, and you have like 2 months where you might have to wear pants.
No, no, no. Maybe 2 weeks. If you were to add them all up, maybe 14 days total.
Yeah, but you're still in like, you're a newbie. There's people down there. If it gets under 70, they have to like wear a parka.
Maybe like up top. I've done the parka with the shorts.
That's a Minnesota move, going to the gas station with the shorts on and a parka.
Oh, yeah. Do, 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 do. Judy Rankin, she's nerdy too. She used to be with Melnick on ABC. She's on the Golf Channel right now. Do you know Judy Rankin?
Yeah, Judith. Then
she used to always like, she'd be like an on-course reporter. She'd
she was like
headset.
Hole 12 or something.
Yeah. And I'm Steve Melnick. I'll be on the 16th hole. Nice little dog leg left. Players want to position their tee shot a little bit to the right so they have a clear look into the green, which long green.
Do you want to hear about my unofficial beer sponsor of the week?
Yeah.
So this one's from Sarnak Brewery out of Rochester, New York, I believe is where this one is. Doesn't even say. But this is a s'mores porter. And it says, this porter tastes like chocolate, marshmallow, and graham cracker. It's brewed with a blend of caramel, biscuit, brown and roasted malts, and aged with chocolate and vanilla. It smells just like a s'mores. Like you could, it smells like graham cracker.
Oh, that sounds awful.
Let's see how it tastes. Oh, it's actually very sweet. It tastes a lot like graham cracker.
Oof.
And toasted marshmallow. It's very accurate. It's actually good. I like this a lot. Tastes like a s'mores. They nailed it. I have to give them credit for that. They definitely nailed it. Yeah, it's pretty good.
You're not a yuppie, though. You don't have that sweater on around your neck, do you?
No, I'm wearing my grumpy pajama shirt right now.
Can I just read a quick sentence?
This has been the Por Favor Beer Review.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
I was just going to read one of the sentences from Eric Sean's Wikipedia page.
Yes, please do.
He graduated from Trinity School in New York City in 1975 and Georgetown University in 1979 with a degree in urban studies. Now, this is huge. Sean had a cameo role as a reporter in the 1990 film Gremlins 2, The New Batch. That's enough, Eric Sean.
That's enough, Eric Sean, for the day?
Yeah.
See, I'm trying to find out, though, because he may not be.
You want to see what his real name is?
Oh, no, it is, because his father was Gilbert Sean.
Gil Sean?
Gil Sean. That's a good name, too, isn't
Gilbert
it?
Sean? That's really goofy. Eric Sean's way better, though, but...
It's a good name, yeah.
I wonder if we could... Is there any way you can find out what his mom's? Like, was it, like Sue Sean, or...
It's Melba Ray.
Melba Ray Sean?
Yeah.
Ah, that's awful. You almost need like the two consonants too. Like Shannon yes. Sean or Sue Sean, you know?
Sue Sean. Sue Sean.
Imagine if his first name was S-E-A-N, you got Sean Sean.
Sean Sean. Like God Sham God.
Yeah, God Sham God. Sean
Sean. Or Bill Williams.
Oh, God.
Who was the... You mentioned Georgetown and a good name. Remember Ruben Boomche Boomche?
No, I don't remember him. When did he play?
I'd say like late 90s he played for Georgetown. The end of the John Thompson, the original John Thompson.
Mm, John Thompson the first.
Yeah, before Craig Etheridge or whatever his name is came in for a little while. Ruben Boomche Boomche. I'm surprised you don't remember a name like that.
Mm-mm.
There he is. Ruben Bertrand Boomche Boomche is a retired Cameroonian professional basketball player. 7 foot tall. Played center at Georgetown University and retired in November 2011 at age 33 because of a heart condition. How's that?
That's good. We've got a lot of information. We've got Ruben Boomche Boomche and Eric Sean.
Yes.
Off to solid podcast, aren't we?
Yeah, well, we got the beer out of the way, so I'm just kind of killing time until you want to take us to break.
We can go right now if you'd like.
Let's do it.
Still kind of in the middle of March Madness, are we not, Mr. Clinton?
Sure are.
We're getting into the Sweet
16.
In
real life and in this. Here, yeah.
In real life, we're in the Sweet 16. On our podcast, we're in the Elite Eight.
Yes.
We tabled our discussion on restaurants, breakfast spots.
Yes.
Outside exactly. of the parks.
That is correct.
We're down to our final eight. And we're going to crown a champion this week, correct?
Correct.
Do you want me to go through the matchups quickly so we can...
You go through the matchups, and then I'm going to throw a little twist on how we're going to go about this, if that's okay.
Here we go.
Folks, this is live because Mr. Klinsman hasn't gotten an agenda sheet or syllabus or anything.
It's like last week when you told me I had to do a Dick Vitale impersonation on the fly, and I'm there making a fool out of myself. You're just throwing things at me every week, and I don't appreciate it.
We got to stop prepping, because the problem is all those past episodes where we've been doing a lot of prep work, you could tell. I mean, we were very prepared. We knew our material inside and out, and I said, let's just
you know, throw a little curve to it once in a while. Kind of put us on the spot, if you will.
Yeah. Raw and real.
Raw and real, that's right.
All right, so our matchups, we have 1 versus 8, Boma versus Las Ventanas. The 4-5 matchup, Grand Floridian Cafe versus Wave of American Flavors. The 3-6 is 1900 Park Fair versus Kona Cafe. And the 2-7 is Captain's Grill against Whispering Canyon Cafe. No upsets in the first round, but who knows? There could be some upsets brewing in the second round. We'll have to wait and see, but I want to know what your little twist is here.
That ended perfectly. Did you hear the little background music when you
I heard it.
When you were doing the matchups? So here's what we're going to do, because you've been to not many of these, correct? Maybe just one?
Not for breakfast. I've been to a few of them outside of breakfast, but yeah, not for breakfast.
Okay, so I've been to all these.
So instead
of for me to say, this is my favorite, this is my favorite, this is my favorite, this is who's going to win, kind of makes it a little boring. I say, I'll help pick the final four.
Okay.
And then you can be an outsider and kind of go from there and help me out and kind of say, well, if I was going to here for breakfast for the first time, I'd probably want to check out XYZ over ABC, and here is why.
That's kind of been the way. Yeah, that's a good idea. That's a good way to look at it for me, because otherwise you're just going to pick.
I can just overrule, and you could say, well, you've been there and I haven't, so who am I to say this is it? So,
all right, that sounds fair. So you're going to help out with these picks, but I'm going to have some say in it.
Correct.
All right. So you want to start with the 1-8 matchup here?
This is a tough one.
I had a feeling, because you live in the moment.
I do.
You're about the here and the now, and the most recent place you went to was Las Ventanas, and you enjoyed it.
All I have to say is you saw what I had.
The pictures were nice, very nice. The menu is really good. Let's look at this again. I know we talked about it last week, but in case people didn't tune in last week, we can check it out. So Boma is the buffet in Africa, in Animal Kingdom Lodge, Jumbo House, and it's a very good buffet. We'll get into that in a second, but Las Ventanas is the new restaurant at Coronado Springs, and they have a very, I feel like the menu's nicely themed.
Oh, it's perfect. It's perfect for that Mexican Southwest America feel.
They have the Ventanas breakfast, 2 eggs, any style with peppercorn bacon or grilled ham, served with scallions, potatoes, a vegetable omelet, sautéed spinach, tomatoes, cremini mushrooms, Asiago cheese, served with scallion potatoes, ham and cheese omelet. So we're not really getting into that theme stuff here, but now move into the next little layers of the menu. And you have steak and eggs, which sounds normal, but then you look at the description. And I believe, this isn't the one. I thought this was the one that had the chimichurri sauce on it. But it's twin medallions of sirloin and 2 eggs any style served with the scallion potatoes. So maybe that's kind of more along the normal. I thought it was going to be, I'm thinking of this one, the huevos benedicto. So an egg benedict is a normal breakfast staple, but they really changed it. The corn arepas, which is basically like a tortilla almost, like a thicker tortilla. Seared pork belly, so that's a nice little twist, because usually you get the Canadian bacon with the eggs benedict. Poached eggs, then a roasted poblano pepper hollandaise sauce served with chilaquiles, and I don't even know what that is. Should we look into that, see what a chilaquiles is?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, you can't leave people in suspense right now, Jürgen.
Chilaquiles. Chilaquiles from the Nahuatl word chilaquitl is a traditional Mexican dish, typically corn tortillas cut in quarters and lightly fried are the basis of the dish. This doesn't help me at all. Let's see, let's go to Wikipedia here. Green or red salsa is poured over the tortilla triangles. The mixture is simmered until the tortilla starts softening. Then pulled chicken is sometimes added to the mix. It's commonly garnished with crema, shredded queso fresco, raw onion, and avocado slices. So it's kind of like a nachos, like breakfast nachos almost. But they cook it in the salsa so it gets soft.
Oh, that sounds beautiful, doesn't it?
Sounds pretty good. Something I've never had, but I would definitely like to try. So that comes on the side instead of potatoes, I guess. You're getting that little option there. So sounds pretty good. That huevos benedicto would definitely be a good option to go with. Then we have, you want to pronounce this one for me? Because you did such a good job last week.
The chitty skillet?
No, the one before that. Because I said it wrong. You said the C was a softer C. The divorciados, maybe?
Oh, huevos divorciados.
Thank you. How's that? Any style. Served on a cheese quesadilla with black beans and scallion potatoes, topped with fresh salsa roja, salsa verde, and queso fresco. That sounds good,
mm-hmm,
too.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a normal, just eggs, but on a cheese quesadilla with the beans and everything. That sounds like a fun little dish. The chorizo skillet, you had that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was it big? Was it a big portion?
It
was
hard for me to finish, Bill. It was really big.
And how was the chorizo? Was it like chopped up or was it a patty?
Nope, it was chopped up.
So it was almost like a hash?
Yes.
Everything kind of together with the potatoes, the peppers and onions, and then just eggs on top?
It was almost like like the scrambled eggs were on top, so it was almost like an omelet, but there wasn't any at the bottom.
Oh, yeah, it even says that. Fresh egg and Monterey Jack cheese omelet. So they make this chorizo hash and then throw an omelet on top of it?
Yeah.
More or less? That's pretty good.
Does that sound good? That's definitely good. You'd make a venture over there just for that, wouldn't you?
It would be worth a trip for that. And you definitely, that's one of those breakfasts where you're not making it off resort before having a business meeting.
No,
you don't want to get on a bus to Magic Kingdom and feel that thing start rumbling.
No. Because when you're in line and you see Magic Kingdom 8 minutes and your stomach gurgles, you're not making it back in.
No, not at all.
You're going to be making mud patties right there on the bench.
Then the rest of the menu is some normal stuff. French
totally
toast,
just
pancakes.
Threw you off your game. If you were shooting 1-1, man, you'd be front-ending this, wouldn't you?
Right off the front of the room. Continental breakfast, all that kind of normal stuff. And then you can add bacon, a chorizo patty, ham, potatoes to any meal.
And let me tell you something. I've said it before. The chorizo patty was brilliant. It was like a sausage patty, obviously. But it was beautiful. Little char on the outside, nice and soft on the inside. Kristen got those. And you got two very generous portions.
Oh, okay, for $4.25.
Very, very, very nice side dish. Now, let me tell you what I like about this place. You have your typical safe spots for the weasels.
I don't like anything on the menu, Mom. I'm not eating.
And then they have the real, the good stuff where you want to try something themed.
Right, exactly.
You get your steak and eggs in your omelets and your Western omelets from all these places, but this has some really cool items that you're not going to get at your mom and pop breakfast spot in Westerly.
No, you're not getting them anywhere outside, and not many Mexican joints do breakfast.
Right.
Like your local authentic Mexican place probably isn't open for breakfast.
Save a place for me, Casa Lupita. That's before your time. Used to be a Castle of Pita in Warwick, I think, over by CCRI and Toys R Us.
Yeah, no, that's poor for my wife's favorite restaurant growing up. They used to go there.
Castle of Pita?
Yeah, that was like their special occasion place.
Castle of Pita was a good Mexican joint.
I'm pretty
Save
sure that's
a place for me, Castle of Pita.
Now, that being said, everything you've just said about Las Ventanas can be said about Boma.
Yeah, you just basically had me on mute. You muted my microphone because...
Well, no, I'm not saying that, but they're different regional cuisines. This is the African choice or the Mexican choice, but the Boma buffet has a lot of those same things, that things you wouldn't find anywhere else, things that you could try if you're an adventurous eater.
Agreed,
but
sir.
It also has all the safe options for the weasels, like you said.
Agreed.
Now, what it comes down to is... I would say the theming and which type of food you like better. And I know you're a big Mexican fan, and I'm not the biggest. I like Mexican, but it's not my top. But this these African spice foods that I've been trying a little bit more at Disney, I'm really into it. I like that stuff. So I'm leaning Boma. Which way are you leaning on this?
I'm going to go with Boma.
You were leaning Boma as well.
I'm going Boma.
So that's good. I just love everything there was good at Boma, and it's hard for me because this is the only place I've eaten at of the ones that we have left. So it does hold a place near and dear to my heart. But there were just so many good options and a lot of different and unique things, which was great.
I love this. Was one of those unique 1-8 where you look at it going in and you say, if they get to the second round, this is going to give the number one Tar Heels a headache. And it did. It was one of those 75-72 games where Las Ventanas had a shot at the end and they ended up missing it.
Mm-hmm. No, I'm
Did you like that analogy, Jürgen?
It was a good analogy, a very good analogy.
Thank you.
I mean, I'm looking at the pictures of the inside of Las Ventanas,
mm-hmm.
and it's a little too like modern and sleek for me.
Yep.
Like, it doesn't fit the theming of the food as much. It doesn't look like a Mexican place, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So I'd have to hold that against it a little bit. But so we're going to make Boma move on. And then we'll move on to the 2 versus 7.
Ba-da-da-da-da.
Now, this is Captain's Grill at the Yacht Club against the Whispering Canyon Cafe at Wilderness Lodge. Captain's Grill, you're on the record very often as your favorite single credit sit down on property.
Correct.
For breakfast, lunch, or dinner. Now,
that
do
is
you like
correct.
Their, do you like their breakfast? Like, which meal? If you could have only one meal there, which
oh
would
man,
you go?
It's so hard. It's so hard because the lunch. Nobody would ever pick a place as like for a lunch,
right?
But the lobster roll and the chowder was to die for.
And they only have that at lunch, right? That's not on the dinner menu.
Yeah, and the dinner was really good because we did that for the candlelit processional. I don't know. You put me on a spot right now.
I'm just curious. I just was wondering, just as an aside.
I'd say their breakfast.
The breakfast. Because you're a huge breakfast guy.
I like breakfast.
Yeah.
Gotta have a breakfast, Margie.
Their menu doesn't blow me away. Their breakfast menu.
All right. Let me hear what.
I have to admit. The buffet is a nice option. I like the small buffet that they have at a couple of these sit-downs as a nice option for breakfast. The steak and eggs, they seem like that's kind of the run-of-the-mill steak and eggs that you can get at pretty much all these sit-downs. The lump crab omelet intrigues me.
Mm-hmm.
Now, you said you had the lobster omelet.
I had the lobster omelet.
Now, was there a lot of lobster?
Yes,
it
was.
Like kind of chopped up?
No,
big
it was.
Chunks?
Yeah, there was a claw in there, so it wasn't.
One just little.
Yeah, it wasn't gimmicky.
Knuckle meat
all
chopped up.
No.
Did they put cheese in it? Because, like, lobster and cheese.
No,
and crab
there was
and cheese
there was no cheese, and that's what I liked about it. It was just a nice, fluffy egg.
Just egg and lobster.
With lobster and, like, yeah, I think they had asparagus in there, but. Yeah, because you don't want to take away from the main ingredient, which they didn't. It was very, very, very nice. Presentation was pretty, too.
Then you can get, like, two eggs any style with the bacon and the... And that's the bacon sausage and a biscuit with potatoes, a fried egg sandwich, which sounds nice. Serrano ham, Parmesan, tomatoes, onion marmalade, seasoned arugula, roasted potatoes. That sounds really nice. A nice sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
Shrimp and grits. Dark chocolate waffles. That's something I would try, but I don't know if I'd go with that. Just nothing really jumps out at me. Because I like crab and lobster, but usually I feel like I don't get enough for what I pay at a restaurant. You know what
I mean?
I mean,
when you're getting an omelet, a lobster omelet for $15, you're not expecting a 4-pound Maine lobster to be on the plate, are you?
No, I know, but I'm kind of like, I always feel like I get ripped off like getting a lobster roll. You know what I mean? Like you order a lobster roll and it comes on a little hot dog bun with like half a claw and a couple knuckles in there.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, oh, that's it. But
I think you've been shunned at a couple places.
That's possible.
I'm going to tell you what, too. Susie had the thing that you just went over, and she absolutely loved it.
I was about to bring that up. And that, I can understand why people would like that. That's not something I would get. I love pancakes, but I'm not a big fan of blueberries, and the lemon ricotta doesn't appeal to me too much. But it looks nice. It looks really nice, the picture I'm looking at here. And I'm sure they're lovely if you're into that sort of thing. I don't know. It just seems like a traditional breakfast place. And Whispering Canyon, on the other hand, I just really... That appeals to me. Maybe because it's the gimmick. Maybe
yeah, you like the gimmicky kind of crap.
I like the gimmick, especially at breakfast. Like, I don't want to be at a fancy place. Like, Captain's Grill almost seems kind of fancy for breakfast.
Oh, Jesus.
Maybe that's why I'm balking at it.
No.
You know what I mean?
No.
Is it... It doesn't seem... It's not, like, too fancy or anything?
No, because it's quiet and there's not a lot of people in there. It's a great place to start your day at 8, 9 o'clock in the morning.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they're definitely big, differing styles. Because you have Whispering Canyon is going to be crowded. It's going to be loud. You're getting filth. You're getting Farmer Mike's ham and cheese omelet. You're getting a filth platter. And you're getting, you know, the waiters and waitresses that give you a little bit of attitude, all with good fun. And then Captain's Grill is more the quiet, buttoned up place, and you get, you know, a very nice meal with good service, but you're not getting any of the extra frills because it's not expected at that place.
Correct.
I guess it just depends on what you're looking for. And I'm looking at the menu here, and you get the Captain's Grill. They have a breakfast buffet, which you get fruit, yogurt, pastries, smoked salmon, bread pudding, oatmeal, waffles, cereal, bacon sausage, potatoes, scrambled eggs, and a chef's frittata. At Whispering Canyon, you can get the all-you-care-to-enjoy breakfast platter, which has eggs, home fries, bacon, sausage, waffles, buttermilk, cheddar biscuits, and sausage gravy. So you're comparing those two things, and there's a little more at the Captain's Grill, but it has some of the stuff that I don't really care about, like fruit, yogurt, and cereal. Whereas the Whispering Canyon, every single aspect of it is right in my wheelhouse. That platter is really drawing me in, Bill.
It's a good platter. Trust me, I've had it a number of times. It's a good platter.
I would go with... I guess the way I'm looking at it is I would... If you gave me both menus, I would pick the All You Care to Enjoy platter out of both of them.
And I would pick the lobster omelet.
Okay, which isn't even on the menu anymore.
Well, whatever their specialty is.
I hear you.
I would take the blue crab omelet.
I think I would put Whispering Canyon going on in this one, in this matchup.
And I'm going to... Definitely go with the number two seed.
Okay, so how are we breaking this tie?
I don't know.
I thought you had this big method all figured out.
No, I didn't. I said that you were going to do the final four.
Oh, okay, so you get carte blanche in this round then?
Oh, maybe not carte blanche, but maybe a little more heavily weighted. How does that sound?
All right, that's fine. You can let Captain's Grill go on.
Yeah, but now I'm afraid you're going to spite me in the final four.
No, I won't.
And just automatically disregard this place. Oh, it seems too fancy.
No.
I don't know. You know how you are sometimes.
I'm going to look at it with fresh eyes. Uh-huh. I'm just saying that out of those two menus, the one thing I would get first is at Whispering Canyon. Probably the next three would be at Captain's Grill, so I can see where it's close. It's certainly close. So we'll move Captain's Grill on. It's fine. It's a good debate, and I'm glad to have them in our final four.
All right, let's move on, as Brother Heath would say. Any questions? Let's move on.
Grand Floridian Cafe versus Wave of American Flavors. The Wave, you have that buffet again. It's very similar to the one at Captain's Grill.
Yeah.
Says you get a huge assortment of standard breakfast foods, which I imagine is eggs, bacon, sausage, potatoes. Then it says, and also sweet potato pancakes, multi-grain waffles, hard-boiled eggs, cheesy grits, steel-cut oatmeal, and more. And that's served with a drink. So again, another buffet within a sit-down. And so that's really a good option for people. If you got someone who wants to have a really big breakfast, they can go with that. Or you can get the smaller things. I mean, they even have a continental breakfast for $8, which just comes with a couple Danishes and a coffee or tea.
Mm-hmm.
For you know, so there's options. You can go big or go small at this place. Their signature is those sweet potato pancakes, which you can get on the buffet. They come with honey pecan butter and a choice of bacon or sausage, pork sausage or chicken sausage, citrus-scented brioche French toast. You love this place. I'm kind of skipping over some. The rock shrimp omelet. A lot of good things on this menu. You love the location of this restaurant, correct?
Mm-hmm.
You feel like it's overlooked?
It's definitely overlooked. I think it's going to be like Captain's Grill. It's going to be a great breakfast, lunch, and dinner spot.
Right. And you haven't gone for lunch or dinner, correct?
You are correct. No, just I've been to breakfast twice.
And you had that buffet both times.
Yes, I did have the buffet both times.
Anything stand out in that buffet? I mean, you talked about the fruit presentation.
I'm telling you, basically the fruit presentation, because it's your typical $21 buffet.
I mean, you're not making a strong case to me when you're saying the strong point is the way the fruit looks in a little cup.
Yeah, but it's nice. It's nice, and you don't have to get the spoon and just throw out a bunch of freaking grapes or a bunch of strawberries on. It's very nice portion control.
Okay, I see what you're saying.
So you can get
Try those sweet potato pancakes?
No. Would I try them? No, because I don't like sweet potatoes.
Oh, okay. Well, that's fair. I didn't realize that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Well, we'll keep that in consideration as we move on to the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Mm-hmm.
Now, my question to you is, because this breakfast has lunch items on the menu, can we consider those lunch items as part of our tournament here because you could order them? Or are we just looking at the breakfasty items?
I guess all things considered, right? Because if you can have this
that could make a huge difference. Yeah. Because if you're telling me I can get that onion soup at breakfast, that could push this over the edge.
How gorgeous is that as an appetizer?
That onion soup is very good.
Oh, it's good.
Listen to this breakfast meal you could have. Caramelized onion soup gratin with a steak and egg entree. Flat iron steak, cheesy hash brown casserole, two eggs, any style. Here's the one with chimichurri sauce. Like, how can you go wrong with that? Starting your day off with onion soup?
Yeah.
That's really filthy. Really very filthy. This menu is very nice.
Mm-hmm.
I have been to the Grand Floridian Cafe, but for dinner. And it was a very good dinner. We liked that. I mean, that's, as a newsflash, I think Por Favor Frank said it might be his new top spot on property.
He's really moving on up, isn't he?
You know, just kind of get him out of his comfort zone a little bit.
He's going now from everything pop to the Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, some of the entrees you can get that are breakfast, steak and eggs, like I just mentioned, Eggs Benedict, Lobster Benedict.
Mm.
That sounds good. Mickey Waffles, Ham and Cheese Omelette, the Flagler, which is a three-egg omelette with onions, peppers, ham, and served with those cheesy hash brown casserole.
Mm.
Regular buttermilk pancakes, French toast, then the Grand Floridian breakfast, two eggs with buttermilk biscuit, bacon, sausage, and cheesy hash brown casserole. And then they have the Grand Cafe sandwich, which I don't know if this is a breakfasty or a lunch kind of option. Sounds more lunchy, but open face hot sandwich with ham, turkey, bacon, tomato, boursin cheese, and fried onion straws. I mean, it all sounds very good. Don't get me wrong. And then, like, the lunch options, you can get a Kobe burger, you can get miso glazed salmon, penne pasta, Reuben sandwich, salads, soup, shrimp cocktail. The wave sounds nice. Grand Floridian Cafe, I think, just has too much going for it.
You know, looking at it, I was going to go with the wave because I think it's just very underrated.
Uh-huh.
But I don't think I can advance them for being very underrated.
No, because Grand Floridian Cafe is overlooked as well.
Oh, of course.
They just seem like
totally
they have
overlooked.
a better menu top to bottom.
And I'll tell you, I've been to Kona a ton of times for breakfast, and I always got their steak and eggs. But the Grand Floridian steak and eggs was by far the best.
Oh, okay.
By
wow.
far. I mean, nice, big, thick piece. It wasn't your flat piece of steak. It was nice and
thick.
Yeah,
a lot of times you get that, like, flat iron steak at a steak and eggs. Yeah.
No, this was almost, you want to say, like a 5-ounce sirloin.
Although it does say
it's a flat iron steak, but this was like, it was thick like a sirloin.
Hmm, interesting.
It was really good. I know your sister liked her breakfast, and Susie really liked her breakfast, so.
All right, well, Grand Floridian can move on to the final four.
I can never oust one of their restaurants, can I?
No.
I mean, I make fun of cheerleaders, but I don't think you've ever met a bigger goofy cheerleader than me for the Grand Floridian in their restaurants.
That's very true. And that's a good segue, because you just talked about the Kona Steak and Eggs and Grand Floridian restaurants, and we have a matchup between Kona Cafe and 1900 Park Fair. This is gonna test you here, because you have your love of the Grand Floridian,
mm-hmm.
but you also have a very big fondness for Kona breakfast. And for me, this would be an easy choice. I would go Kona all day long.
Why is that?
The 1900 Park Fair buffet doesn't have any signature options that really strike me. And maybe my tune would change if I have gone, because when I looked at Cape May originally, there was nothing on there that like really struck me, but I love that buffet, so I have a feeling 1900 would probably be the same way.
Okay.
But like the strawberry soup, the cheese blintz, a lot of the stuff that they say are their signature offerings, they don't really draw me in, mm-hmm. and then all the favorites are what you can get everywhere. So there's nothing drawing me into the 1900 Park Fair. Whereas Kona has those beautiful entrees we just talked about last week. They have the Tonga Toast, the Loco Moco, the Big Kahuna, the Macadamia Pineapple Pancakes. I mean, that's a 1-4 heavy hitter. That's like the 27 Yankees
mm-hmm.
of entrees.
Murderer's Row right there.
And that didn't even bring in the steak and eggs into mm-hmm. it. You know, so this is a stacked menu at Kona, and it's a beautiful spot as well.
It's a great spot.
So for me, Kona, it's an easy choice. But if you're strong with 1900, I'd like to hear the argument.
I don't really have an argument, because like you said, I always love my most recent girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been to Kona more recently. It's been a while since I've been to 1900. And as we were going through there, and you're saying nothing really strikes you, I'm thinking I have to do a dining room view of this place. Of 1900, right. Because it's been a while since I've been there, and I really want to get in there and investigate.
I mean, I'm sure it's perfectly fine. I don't have any, like, I doubt that I would love it. I'm sure I would love
mm-hmm.
it. But there's nothing in there that says, I have to go to try this.
Right.
Whereas Kona has four things mm-hmm. that I want to try.
And actually, they have a lovely steak and eggs.
Right, and that's something that I probably wouldn't even be in my top four from Kona, and yet you said it's one of your favorite things, period.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there's a lot going for Kona, and I think they might be taking it, moving on.
I'm going to tell you a funny story. The first time we went to Kona, it was 2010 when my mom took me and Susie down there.
Yes.
And it was probably like the second day we were there. We had breakfast there. So Susie's getting her coffee ready, so she takes the maple syrup and pours it into her coffee, thinking that it was the cream. And she actually said it was fantastic.
Oh,
so this could good. Actually be a pour for war tip. Throw it, instead of putting cream, put a little bit of maple syrup in your coffee.
Yeah, and then add cream after.
You get they have that nice Kona blend too. The coffee there is good. It's good.
That's important. We haven't even touched on that on any of these. Is the beverages, and when you start your day, you need the good coffee, you need a nice juice. So maybe that's something that could separate someone in the final four.
Mm-hmm.
So now our final four, we have Boma, the one seed, going
up against... Did I agree to Kona, by the way?
You did.
Okay, I wasn't sure if I did.
I could tell by your tone.
Okay, I wasn't sure, but I hear you go. So we're in our final four, so okay.
You don't think so? You don't think Kona
deserves it? No, I'm gonna go with Kona. I'm gonna take off my cheerleader outfit right now.
I mean, you still have a Grand Floridian in the final four, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, but you need four of them, even though I should have put the quick serve in there.
You haven't even been there. All right, we have Boma, the one seed, going up against the four seed Grand Floridian Cafe, and then the six seed, Kona, going up against the two seed Captain's Grill.
It's an interesting final four, wouldn't you say, Jürgen?
I don't think you could go wrong with any of those four joints, do you?
No.
Be happy with any of the mm-hmm. four. All right, let's talk about the 1-4 matchup. We have Boma,
yep.
The last buffet standing, the one seed, going up against Grand Floridian Cafe.
Can I tell you something real quick?
This is a heavyweight matchup. Yeah, go
when,
ahead.
When I click out my red web browser, I got two. It says Kona Cafe breakfast menu,
mm-hmm.
and then Eric Sean Wikipedia. I just laugh. It's so wrong, isn't it?
You got good tabs going on.
I got good tabs. Eric Sean. and a breakfast menu. All right, so we have Boma versus Grand Floridian Cafe.
Yes.
And I'm going to let you take this one over, Jürgen. You're gonna guide this ship.
This is tough because I like both of these places. I like the aesthetic of both, the theming. Both were very relaxing for different reasons. Like the Grand Floridian Cafe has that Victorian style. It's nice and quiet in there. The servers are excellent.
Mm-hmm.
Boma was a little more upbeat, but it was still quiet for a buffet. Had the big windows. You could see out into a lot of the resort there. I like the way the buffet was set up. It was kind of separate from the rest of the seats. Mm-hmm. Some of the buffets, they kind of have them in the middle of the restaurant, and I don't like that as much because there's people always going by you getting to the buffet. But this one was kind of off to the side. I like that. As far as the food goes, you know, you're getting a lot of good options at both places. And because the Grand Floridian Cafe has that lunch menu included, they're gonna hold up against the buffet because Boma has some of those lunch type options on the buffet. This is a tough choice for me. I'm leaning Boma, probably because I've been there, but the Grand Floridian Cafe was an excellent spot, and you're looking, like, the lobster Benedict sounds good, the steak and eggs. If you said it's the best steak and eggs you've had, that's a high praise.
Mm-hmm.
And then, you know, those other options. You can get shrimp cocktail. You can get a lobster tail. You can get a 2-ounce butter poached lobster tail added to your steak and eggs for $11. I mean,
might as
talk
well
about
pile
that
it in
for breakfast.
Might as well pile it in.
These are the options you have going on here. House
made
corned beef hash.
I didn't even know about this, Bill.
You know, like, there's a lot of options.
This
here
is like I won the grand prize on one of those stupid game shows, and like you're still piling on. You know, I got the car, and now you're telling me that I got the condo in celebration, and yeah, this is insane.
So I guess the way I'm going to look at it is we're not taking cost into account, correct?
No, we're not. No, we're not going to look at price tag.
So even though you might be able to come out of Boma for cheaper, the amount of food and the variety you can get at Grand Floridian Cafe, I think, is a little too much to overcome. I have the upset.
Wow. 4-1. I mean, Boma was your...
That was my horse.
I mean, I remember you told me that you used to go to bed and put your head on the pillow and your phone would have a picture of that buffet.
The buffet. That was like the... This is like 1991 UNLV losing. It's a big deal Boma's getting knocked out right here. But I don't know. Onion soup with steak and eggs and a lobster tail on the side. That's a pretty good breakfast, Bill.
That's a good. That's when the family's going to lunch and you're just saying, you know what? I'll just have some clam chowder and a soda.
Yeah, I've had enough for dinner.
Yeah, I'm good. I'll see you at dinner.
Yeah, I mean, granted that meal's going to cost you about $36, but still. We're not taking price into consideration. Are you against this? I mean, it's hard for you. You're not going to go against the Grand Floridian.
No,
because
I love Boma, and I could have went either way.
Yeah.
But it is a buffet. But if you just want to look at a menu, that thing is stacked.
It's very stacked.
Now, you talked about Kona, but that thing is stacked.
Mm-hmm.
And when you look at the most expensive thing and adding a lobster tail, and you're looking at $36, I mean, look at what you're going to pay for dinner.
No, that's
for something of the equivalent.
Yeah. All right, so Grand Floridian Cafe is into the finals. Now we have Captain's Grill. This is your baby going up against Kona Cafe, the dark horse. And now I feel guilty because you told me I'm going to hold it against Captain's Grill. Because
which you're going to.
Kona was my choice all along. They were my number one seed in my heart. Maybe it's just a fantasy for me because I've been in the Polynesian. I've always looked at the Kona. I'm like, man, I got to try that. The coffee. Bill, that French press coffee, like you were talking about.
Mm-hmm.
The Kona blend. Ugh, I can't get that out of my mind. 100% Kona coffee, French press pot, $9. A Loco Moco, traditional island brunch staple. A tower of rice, a grilled hamburger patty, house-made chorizo gravy, 2 eggs any style, topped with tomato salsa. There's not much on the Captain's Grill menu that's going to compete with the Loco Moco.
Whenever you say the word Shadice, I know that there's no getting it out of your head now.
I mean, you can't fault me for this. This isn't holding a grudge against Captain's Grill. This is just Kona Cafe coming up strong. Mm-hmm. Big Kahuna, Tonga Toast, steak and eggs.
The Big Kahuna is good. Good breakfast, too.
The Kona Coffee, though, Bill. I think that pushes it over the top. I mean, you could take your Joffrey's. I'll take my Kona blend.
Actually, that pressed coffee we had, it was a little too strong.
Oh, see, I like that.
Yeah, I like their regular blend. I like their regular coffee that they bring out in a pot.
So the French press was a little too strong.
A little too strong for Susie and I, yeah.
Well, I don't know. I mean, you can, if you really are strong with Captain's Grill over Kona, I'll listen to it. But Kona has made a strong point, strong case
okay.
in my mind.
Now, I'll give you my input. Captain's is Susie and I's favorite breakfast spot. Kona might be a close second.
Okay.
And the thing is with Kona, and that's why I'm going to give you Kona, I think Kona is probably one of the only spots on property that you would consider a true blue breakfast spot.
Yeah, their breakfast,
if you will,
is a bigger deal than their lunch or dinner.
Exactly. Whereas the Grand Floridian Cafe, you could say, okay, they have great breakfast, but you know they're more known for their lunches, where you can get the Grand Floridian burger or whatever, or the dinner where they have some really nice pastas and steak options and stuff. But Kona is one of those sit downs that is just it's a breakfast spot.
Yeah, I agree. It made its bones on breakfast.
It's just in such a cool area. I mean, as a kid, you know, sometimes if we go to the park, we just stop at the Polynesian just to walk around for 10 minutes. And it was just that restaurant that you always saw people having breakfast. You're like, wow, people actually stay here. I wish I could stay here someday.
Right, yeah.
But you'd always like get off that monorail, walk in and look to the left. And they had that little sushi bar with where they sold coffee and different kind of croissants and stuff. But the Kona Cafe was just that. You know, everybody talks about Ohana, but Ohana's like off in the back. Not a lot of people. I mean, a lot of cheerleaders know about Ohana, but
people know about it if they do the research, but you can't help but know about Kona
Kona's
if you've
their
ever
staple.
Walked in the Poly.
Kona's their staple.
Especially for breakfast.
And you just have that you have that noise of the clatter with the knives and the forks.
Right.
Like, you hear that noise and you think Disney Vacation.
Yeah.
No, I agree. Captain's our favorite, but Kona's not that far off.
Okay.
And now these are you have not been to Kona.
I have not. And I'm dying to.
All right, so we're going to have to go.
We'll go.
Next time I see you. Yeah, we have to hit that spot.
Because you know what we could do? If we play our cards right, and we have the right amount of people at this breakfast joint, we can have like the whole menu ordered, and everyone just puts their forks around just to try everything. You know, somebody gets the pineapple pancake, someone gets the Big Kahuna, someone gets the Tonga Toast, someone gets that Loco Moco, and everyone gets a sample.
And then we're definitely going to have to make sure that Eugene's there, because I can't do the camera for that. That's just too much work.
No.
I'm going to really have to focus that day.
Yeah, that would be a lot of work. But so now we have a final matchup, the 4 against the 6 seed. Grand Floridian Cafe against Kona Cafe. Mm. To be crowned the best breakfast off property or out of the parks, resort breakfast.
Two of my favorite breakfast spots and two of my favorite resorts. This is exciting.
And not to mention both gorgeous locations.
Absolutely.
Because I've been trying to take in the later rounds the atmosphere. Mm-hmm. And I was looking at the pictures of Kona, the restaurant itself. And that place just jumps out at you. All the colors, you get a nice view out toward the monorail and everything about it is just themed well. I like the tikis on the wall. I like that it's open to the lobby, so you can kind of see the hustle and bustle.
Yeah.
They have the open kitchen in there, so you can see that as well.
Yeah.
Just there's a lot of things to really like about the Kona, the location, and the theming. Grand Floridian Cafe is very different in that regard, but it's located on the first floor. You can see out people walking into the lobby. It's got a different style, the Victorian style, a little fancier, but not like stuffy fancy. You don't feel out of place there if you're in a t-shirt
correct,
and shorts.
Correct, yep.
And I would say the same about Kona. The menus, I mean, you can... These two menus, they're both heavy hitters.
Mm-hmm.
Kona, like you said, is more traditional breakfast. They made their bones on breakfast, like you said. Grand Floridian Cafe, they have that lunch option looming. I mean, that makes a big difference, especially if you go late, that 10:30, 11 o'clock lunch reservation or breakfast reservation, and you have some of those people in your party that aren't huge breakfast people, but you can tell them, hey, listen, you can get a burger, you can get soup, you can do your lunch now, and I'll have my breakfast, and everyone's going to be happy.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big plus.
You know, it's always about making wins when we're choosing dining locations.
Well, because we're weasels in that regard, big
right,
time.
Right.
Because we want to have what we want, but we need to be able to have, we need arrows in our quiver to mm-hmm. convince the other people that we're with why they should succumb to what we want.
So you're saying we're big manipulating weasels?
Well, sure. Of course. Why wouldn't we be? We're salespeople, right, Bill? I think you were talking about that off the air.
At the end of the day, we are salespeople. Correct.
So you want them to decide what you want, and you want them to be happy about it. And these places both offer that. There's a lot of good things about both of these places. And man, I'm leaning Kona, but it's a light lean because I'm still looking at that onion soup, Bill. That onion soup was so good. This is a breakfast tournament, and the onion soup might make the biggest difference in the whole thing. I don't know. I think we might have to think about it. You want to do something really unorthodox, take a break, and come back and reveal our winner?
Yeah, let's do that.
All right.
Teaser of all teasers,
and not to mention, I mean, you played a little song about, what, a minute and a half. But this has been like 3-4 hours we were hammering it out with mm-hmm. each other trying to come up with a winner here.
Yeah, our break wasn't a minute and a half. No, you're exactly right. We're in the AM right now. We usually start recording at about 8 o'clock, so we're in the AM. Everybody's asleep. The lights are off.
Yeah. So what we've come down to, we've broken it down. We have recipes, we're looking at calorie contents. Every single thing has been taken into effect. And what it came down to were two things, one at each restaurant. Grand Floridian Cafe steak and eggs versus Kona Cafe steak and eggs. Because if you can do that well, you can do anything well. I don't know who it was, but there was a famous chef, it might even be Gordon Ramsay, who said if you can make a perfect egg, you can make anything.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think because he really talked about making the perfect egg.
Because it's something simple, but when it's done right, you just know it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I feel the same way about steak, because you can easily mess up a steak, and it's still okay. But when it's done well, mm-hmm. oh man, is that something mm-hmm. that's just fantastic. And you've had the steak and egg at both places, mm-hmm. correct?
I have.
Which one was better?
The better one was the Grand Floridian Cafe.
And that was enough to push them over the edge. Grand Floridian Cafe And no surprise to anyone who's ever listened to this podcast that Mike was able to weasel a Grand Floridian place into a championship. No, but they're very deserving. I mean, I have no qualms with that pick. You convinced me in the last 2 or 3 hours that Grand Floridian Cafe is superior, but not by much. This was an all-time classic final game.
And I'll tell you what, too, for me, because I love Kona, but I'm not a big carb guy. I'm not a big waffles or pancakes or French toast in the morning kind of guy.
Right.
And I think Kona like has a lot of that. I like my protein.
Mm-hmm.
I like a little bit of toast, but my typical breakfast is sunny-side eggs and toast. Now, you throw in a nice piece of steak, that puts a happy face.
Right? Yeah,
that puts
exactly.
A happy face.
So we went down to it. Steak and eggs are better at Grand Floridian Cafe, and that says a lot about the restaurant. So we're going to have to go with that. And I think they're deserving. Kona put up a great fight coming out as a 6 seed all the way to the final game. But eventually the 4 seed took it home, the champion.
Now, I think
Grand Floridian Cafe.
I think for you, too, that onion soup was key.
That helped a lot. That helped push them past the 1 seed of Boma, certainly. That came up big off the bench.
Could you imagine? Let's think about this for a second now. You have the onion soup.
Mm-hmm.
Are you a juice guy?
I'd probably get a Bloody Mary if we're going all out.
All right, so we'll get the onion soup. You can sip on the Bloody Mary.
Uh-huh.
You get steak and eggs with a lobster tail.
Huh.
You tell me that's not probably the best breakfast you've ever had in your life.
It is, but you're looking at like $56 before tax and tip.
But then, like you said, you try to get somebody else to pay for it, right?
That's a good point, yes. I mean, certainly that would be fantastic. I don't know if I could spend that much on breakfast out of my own pocket, but if someone wants to sponsor me, I'd be happy to do it. I mean, it's good. It's really good French onion soup.
Yeah, it is.
It's very good. And you've had the steak, and you can't go wrong with it.
No.
It's just fantastic.
Yep. Surprising, too, because when we looked at the pairings a week ago, I didn't think this had a chance.
The Grant?
I thought it was going to be Boma all the way.
It's a sleeper. They're like Purdue. You look at Purdue in the tournament this year, and it's like no one kind of picked them to go to the Sweet 16, but you never know. They could make a little quiet run.
Yeah, they got to play my Jayhawks next, though.
Ooh, they're looking good.
Yeah, they're playing well, aren't they?
I mean, they looked, out of the first weekend, Kansas looked better than anybody.
Oh, I think so, yeah.
They look better than anybody. And it'll be fun, though. I'm really looking forward to that out west, see what happens between Gonzaga and Arizona and that whole crew out there.
I like Arizona.
I like Arizona. Kansas is looking solid.
And the problem with Kansas or whoever you like is they're one of the top seeds is always going to have a letdown.
Right.
And they're not going to play well, and they're going to have to muster it out in the last few minutes, so... Is it going to be against Purdue, or is it going to be in the next round? But
Michigan's looking good. That pick's still looking okay.
Yeah, it actually is.
Michigan in the Final Four. And you know what? That Pac-12, man, they are solid. They barely lost so far.
Conference of Champions, baby. The Conference of Champions.
I think they've only lost one game, right? When USC finally bowed out.
Yeah, and USC had to play. You know, had to beat Providence, and they were down, 15 in the second half to Providence, so
right.
I mean, that was a team that really probably shouldn't have been there for all intents and purposes.
UCLA is looking pretty good. I mean, after Kansas, UCLA probably looked better than anyone in those first two games. UCLA is looking good. Arizona's looking good. Some good matchups.
Mm-hmm.
The Sweet 16, I think we said this last year, that the first weekend is so much fun because of the upsets, but the Sweet 16 games and the Elite Eight games are just so good. It's such good basketball.
Love them.
Powerhouses.
Everybody likes the cheerleaders, you know, all the Davidsons and the this and the that. And it's cute for the first couple weeks. When you get into, like, the UCLA, Kansas, all these big power matchups, it's really good. And you have that one Cinderella team that really isn't a Cinderella team. They can hang with the big boys, you know, but you only usually have one by this time.
Yeah, like Xavier is this year.
They're playing
good at the right time.
Right.
At 11 seed, they're looking good. You have Oregon's playing good. Michigan's playing good. UCLA versus Kentucky, what a matchup that is. I mean, there's some fantastic teams left, and I'm looking forward to this last weekend in the Final Four.
Oh, totally, totally.
On that note, we should probably wrap this up, right, Bill?
Yeah, you want to do the social media, or do you want me to do it?
I'll do it. I don't mind.
Yeah,
you
go ahead.
You can find us at... You can find us at PourFavorPodcast.com, on Facebook and Twitter at PourFavorPodcast. Email the show info@PourFavorPodcast.com. You can find us on YouTube, youtube.com/PourFavorPodcast. Subscribe on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, and you can email me personally, Gary@PourFavorPodcast.com. Mike?
You can email the show. Did you say that?
I did.
Oh, okay. I'll just do that again.
You can email the show at info@PourFavorPodcast.com.
You can email me personally, Mike@PourFavorPodcast. You can follow me on Twitter, @PourFavorMike.
Beautiful.
All right, guys, thanks for listening to episode 160 of the Por Favor Mantengase Alejandro de los Podcast. From Mr. Klinsman up in Westerly, I'm Mike down in Florida. We'll see you next week.
Congratulations, Grand Floridian Cafe. National champs.
Of your heart, feel the wind in your face. more than a contest. It's more than a race. Always did your best, 'cause inside you knew.